Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to The Art of Selling Wine, this time again from CTV23. And I talk to Katerina Slezakova from Vinolog. She's marketing manager, and we discuss the important role of aesthetics for wine stoppers and the very different approach Vinolog takes. Yeah, we had some major shifts since the last episodes. This podcast got some very exciting new sponsors. So let's talk a little bit about them. This podcast is made possible by Wine Plus. It's the biggest European community for wine professionals and also for private wine nerds. It's made possible also by Amorim Cork. They are the world's biggest supplier of cork. And by Aero. Aero is a German company that produces full harvest machines, and Aero recently merged with Ferron. So thanks to all of them. Thanks for supporting me with finances, and also thanks to supporting me with reach. And now please enjoy the episode. We just started our conversation before recording with your question, what I actually do for a living and for this project. And so I thought it would be a good time to repeat this again, because I don't know who's listening. So I started as regular kid, not coming from a wine growing area. I come from Northern Germany. There's no wine growing. And I moved to a wine growing area when I was, I think, 17 years old, and became interested in wine production. And then I did an apprenticeship as a winemaker, studied international wine business after that, but quickly moved to wine sales. So I worked for a big wine merchant. Had some other stations in between, but that's basically it. And I was doing contracts with wineries for an online retailer. So I did more than 600 contracts with different wineries. And the more acquisition I did, the more my acquisition tactics changed to consulting those wineries on how to sell online, how to be successful in this new market dynamics. And at a certain point, I realized that I do more consulting than acquisition. I don't get paid for the consulting.
Okay, you don't get the business.
Yes. And that I actually could answer a lot of the questions the winemakers had. And at that point, I also realized I listen to a lot of podcasts. There are many wine podcasts, but they basically explain which variety of wine pairs to which food, and not how to sell wine. And that's why I founded the world's first professional B2B wine business podcast, first in German. Then I launched the second one internationally. It's called The Art of Selling Wine. That's what we are talking about today. And my audience is mostly comprised of winemakers, but also researchers, people from wine politics, sommeliers, merchants, so people who make a living with wine. And so we don't need to introduce what a stopper is, basically. We can go straight to the core of the topic. That's the good thing. But yeah, the industry is listening. No pressure.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's basically what where you went into. In front of me, dear audience, is Kate Slezapuka, Katerina, Kate, but we will stick with Kate for purpose. You said this is how you want
it. For easier way purpose. To communicate.
You are marketing manager of the company Vinolog.
Right. Vinolog, correct.
For the people who don't know it, it's the glass stopper.
It's the glass closure, which is produced in the Czech Republic.
In the Czech Republic.
Since its beginning, because it was actually invented in Germany. So we might come back to Germany.
We might. But before we take a deep dive into the Vinolog system, how did you end up as marketing manager of Vinolog?
Wow, that's, let's say, long story short, but I was born and raised in Prague in Czech Republic. I was studying there. Then I was traveling a little bit abroad, was living in London for a while, but as a student and studying a little bit of marketing. So I was always doing the marketing, but then the family and, you know, the kids and the life just moved me 100 kilometers away from Prague, which is not that far. Mountain, so we have a lot of snow now. And I decided to live there because the position is great, the nature also close to the city, and I started to search for work. But actually, you know, my whole life was marketing, like advertising agency, research, anything relates to the marketing. So I found there is a company which produced glass, which the name is Preziosa. It's a very famous company producing the chandeliers and the glass stones like Swarovski. So huge one, exporting a lot. And I found that there is a small department and they have a glass stopper, which was completely new for me, 2011, 2012. I said, oh, well, it's just marketing. I can learn the product. So I'm already sticked with a glass for 12 years. So I learned about wine. I had to learn about the wine equipment and winemaking a little bit. I'm still in the beginning, even after 12 years. Of course, the marketing is my job, but also I have to learn about, you know, how the wine is produced, how the trends are, because the closure is more into the art, as you said, the art of selling. It's more into the packaging, but it still can influence or affect the wine development in the bottle. So it's a huge combination of what we do. So this is how we end up, and I love my job. So I love the place. I love the production. So
yeah, I always warn people who come to the wine industry from other industries.
Yeah.
Once the wine world has you, it won't let you go.
No.
There's no way back. And I've talked to so many people who said, yeah, I worked in wine, then I did not work with wine anymore, and I wanted to go back because the industry is so interesting and the people are just
People are nice, yeah. People are socializing, people are helpful. They help you to understand more. Even if we visit our customer, we go into the deep conversation, how the wine is, you know, produced, because then all the other equipments follow the winemaking process. So, and it's also new for us. So that's nice.
I had another conversation today, which was about cork. And we talked about cork until cork came out of my ear. I discovered it's a very, very interesting, but also very technical topic. It's super technical. And when I looked at the way you present Vinolog, it occurs to me that Vinolog more emphasizes the lifestyle aspect of wine and not so much the enological, technological aspect of wine production, right?
Right, but maybe that's just the way of the marketing and the communication, because of the cork business has been here for ages, Vinolog for 20 years, let's say. And so it's new, it's a baby. Yeah. So you need to spread the information about the product exists here. And of course, the Vinolog, the glass closure, when it's on the bottle, it attracts you. So it's an eye-catching product. So it's much easier to spread how we call it in the marketing, the brand awareness with this, you know, packaging system and all the others, but it has great technical properties because we have clients using since 2006, 2008 on heavy red wines. So we have some proof, but maybe it's not, we are not there yet to go into the deep, heavy communication about the technical properties. But the closure was invented as a technical closure, not as a nice closure in Germany, because of cork and TCA problem in the beginning of Vinolog. So that's how it was invented.
So the idea was to create a solution to the TCA problem, and it turned out to look quite nice.
Actually, yeah. it was, but that was the beginning. The inventor, Mr. Matthijs, who is a physiotherapist, ran a small winery, and also his friends around the area had a winery, but they also had a problem with cork taint. Yeah. So as a doctor, as a medicine, he thought that the glass, it's a perfect, let's say, material for keeping or for storage the food, the liquid, at the end wine.
That's the drugstore approach. Everything's in glass, right?
Exactly. So that's how the vinolog was invented. And it's been always produced in the Czech Republic, because the Czech Republic, and especially the north of Czech Republic, is very famous for producing the glass, the quality and everything. So it has been always produced in the Czech Republic, but in 2011, the Czech company took over the business and started to develop it more, because there was only one closure, one bottle. It was very complicated in the beginning. So it was really produced as a technical closure, which was like a boom in the beginning, but then the decrease, because there were a lot of complications with bottles, and it was not convenient for the consumers, for wineries to use vinolog.
If I calculate correctly, you are more or less part of the whole vinolog story after the takeover.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So, okay, then that's interesting. Then maybe you can give us a little insight, not just into the vinolog itself, but also in the company approach, because part of the podcast that I do is I try to open more perspectives on how to sell, how to market, how to do campaigns like you do with your exhibition stand here, and to make the wine growing world listen to entrepreneurial activity from other industries to get their minds jogging on how to sell wine actually. So what was your approach on marketing the vinolog when you started, and how did it change over the years?
Yeah, it was in the beginning it was very difficult, but we actually thought that being different, being a little baby on the side, in the corner somewhere, in terms of like market volume, market share, that we might be different, we might behave different, and we decided not to communicate as the other closure or as the other bottle producer, I mean the wine equipment companies or industries, and we want to be different. So we wanted to do something eye-catching or something, creating all the stories. So, you know, all the crazy stuff, which is like, wow, that's something different. I want to get to know more. And this is the game of marketing. Of course, we were always like, I don't want to say like a punk style, but we always were on the side of uniqueness and individuality game. And this is what helped us to be recognizable worldwide as someone who creates the stories, who creates the communication differently than the other. So we are not conservative. That's one thing. And it plays also the role when you sell wine or anything else. Just think how to be different. Think out of your box. Think how to promote yourself. But what is important, the product must be very good. So if the wine is good, don't be afraid to be a different and to attract people. Of course, the packaging is not the only one, but we have a lot of examples of our customers that they use the packaging as a main communication. That's the fact, but they are also very active on the other side. You see all the celebrities wine selling the cap, the t-shirt, you know, all these merchandise, which attracts the people to at the end buy the wine. So you do something different than the others.
And what's the typical brand that uses vinolog? Because I can see it more with the Louis Vuitton style fancy rosé bottle than with traditional winemaking guy coming straight from the field.
And that's, again, that's the marketing, because you see the...
I see the rosé.
Yeah, in France, of course, this is a rosé style, because rosé, it's it doesn't have very long tradition in France. So everybody can accept, the packaging and the communication can be different as a vinologue, you know, but red wine is conservative.
Yeah.
White wine, somehow, but rosé, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So you drink it on the beach directly. Fair. Yes.
Yeah.
No hands squeezed.
Yeah.
And it's about the packaging. So now, of course, in France, it's about rosé, but it varies market to market. And for example, in Australia or in US, we have customer using that closure because of the technical properties on the red wines. Mm-hmm. So if you have a look at the book of customers using Vinolog, it's sometimes it's because of the packaging, sometimes it's the combination, and sometimes it's, let's say, ordinary, very conservative shape of bottle, label, and closure. It's just part of that.
Is Vinolog a worldwide distributed product, or is it more regional?
No, it's worldwide. It's produced in Czech Republic, 50% goes to France. This is the main market still. And the rest just follow the wine, you know, trends. So Spain, Italy, US, Germany, Austria. But we also, Vinolog started as a wine closure, but we developed, let's say, several possibilities of sizes to fit into the different bottles and to be more, let's say, available for our customers. Mm-hmm. So we are now also being seen on spirit producers as well. Some.
Are you experimenting with sparkling wine?
We made a few tests in the beginning, I remember, but it doesn't work. I mean, it works, but when you open the wine, it's like a gun.
It's pretty dangerous. I was thinking about this.
Because even the cork can be dangerous. So imagine you have a glass in the bottle. So we tried some, you know, tests, but it didn't appear very nice. And the nice looking and appearance, it's very important for Vinolog, because this is...
Yeah, it would be a bit big, actually, I think, if you use
then you would have to use the double kind of security or whatever. Yeah. So, no, I think there are a lot of
people killed, actually. This is, I see this.
I mean, this is not a good marketing at the end.
Yeah. Okay. So, if you look at the French market, if this is the most important market, I don't know your sales numbers, but how big do you expect the worldwide market to be, and how far are you from having reached it? What's the potential in Vinolog?
Depends. You should ask the owners what's the goal, what's the strategy. But of course, there might be still potential, definitely, because I would say that I don't think France is the most important market. I'm just saying that France nowadays is the biggest market for Vinolog, which means there is huge potential in Italy, Spain, US, Australia, maybe Austria, but maybe also new markets which are open to export, which are open to new business and looking for some solution. Maybe also spirit market, maybe some cognac. Everything, it's all connected, because there are so many but nowadays. Reducing the weight of the packaging, reducing the carbon footprint, reducing the material which is non-recyclable. So, you know, all these things affect winemaking business at the end. On the other hand, we are still, you know, even if we sell some millions per year, we are still a niche product. So every kind of like a trends which means that the wine consumption is getting a little bit lower, might not be affecting our market because it doesn't happen in premium wine. The mass market, mass media or mass wine in retail are a little bit decreasing, but not not in the premium. And
so you are targeting premium market
more or less
once.
Because of the way how it looks like, because of the price, because of the service you need to run around. So this is
One of the obvious things when I look at your closure system is the sustainability part. I mean, I see that you can recycle. I don't know how much of it gets recycled actually, but then I also see you have a lot of energy consumption going into melting glass. I mean, that's obvious. So that's kind of much greenwashing is in there, how much really takes place. When I look at the way I got in contact with Vinolog, I thought about this this morning. It was in Rheingau area. We had the in Erbach, the Schloss, I don't remember the name. A huge winery.
Schloss Vollrath.
Schloss Vollrath, yeah. They had the they switched to Vinolog. And this was my first contact. I did my apprenticeship in Rheingau. And ever since, I kept two or three Vinologs at my house because they are so useful, actually. And if you, I mean, you have the same shaped cork stoppers with wood on top or something like this, but if you reuse them again and again and again, to me it feels slightly less clean, actually. I don't know if that's
less clean if you use it again and again.
Yes, because I put them into different bottles all the time and I don't know about contamination.
Okay,
so the Vinolog I can just clean it. It's glass.
Yeah,
so it's this is how I use it actually. The first time I was introduced to that system, I thought I don't know if I would use it as a producer because I did not own a winery, but for me as a private person, I keep three to five ever since.
It's a huge topic, sustainability. It's huge, and in my personal opinion, we have to behave nicely to our planet because this is clear. Glass production it belongs to heavy industry production.
Yes.
We know it's a fact. At Vinolog, we use the electric melting. So this is different comparing to the glass bottle producer because they use the gas.
Yeah.
So this is first thing.
So you could switch to a nuclear powered melting system, which if you leave out the nuclear topic, it's actually the way less CO2 intense.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
I get it. Okay.
If you have the electric melting and with the glass, you can use the glass to be recycled and you can put it back into the production, which means that you consume less energy because you use the cullets. This is called cullets, the recycled gas, and you also don't produce that much CO2 because of that. And it's never ending loop.
Yeah.
It's what we call it circular economy. So it turns and turns and turns. What is important is that I think like 80%, and these are the data of glass in generally, are being recycled in Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
In Europe. It's like, I was like surprised, it's like 99% in Sweden or in the Nordic countries, which at the end I'm not surprised. And with Vinolog, actually we don't have any data, but with Vinolog, you can recycle as a bottle. You just throw away, even with a sealing ring, because it's melted. Mm. So it's absolutely okay. You can throw it as a glass bottle. But I don't think, as we are not in a mass market production, I don't think people are doing that. So they give the Vinolog the second life. So they use it for another purpose. They have the carafe of water at home, or olive oil, whatever, whatever you can imagine. When I travel sometimes, I mean, even like for holiday, I open the drawer in an apartment, I find vinolog there.
Yeah, I bet you often find them. Yeah.
Yeah. So people are not recycling
them. So there should be at least one vinolog in every household.
Probably, yes.
It's actually good. When I think about the usefulness of such a Second Life product, usefulness is one thing, but also it then comes to the look, the design, the lifestyle of such a thing. For example, I live in the camping car with my wife. We live there all the time, and so we have very little space, and we discuss a lot about what we can bring into our home.
Yeah, okay.
And whatnot. So usefulness and lifestyle is a very, very strong decision. And if I have to choose between like the same looking cork stoppers and the glass stoppers, I pick the glass stoppers because I think they look nicer over a long time.
Definitely.
And that's a part of the product that me as also a marketer kind of, that I find very, very interesting, that I don't see so much in other parts of the wine industry. For example, you have people collecting corks. Like, these are all the corks of the bottles I opened. It's a collection. It's not a Second Life thing. I mean, kind of, but not really.
It can be like a part of the design somewhere in the corner. If you have a big house, if you live in a camper, then you probably use it for another purpose, the corner of the
But Vinolog, I mean, you find them in fridges, on open bottles, you find them on oil bottles, you find them on spirit, like everywhere. People use it again and again and again because it looks nice.
And imagine one thing which we are thinking and starting to work on it. The glass.
Yeah.
If it's not broken, then it can be used again and again. You can break the glass or whatever can happen. So imagine the situation that we as a company, or you as a winemaker, will collect the closure, you give it back to our production, and we will do the repairing and give it you the back, so we don't produce the new ones.
As we just put on a new ring.
We just put a new ring and we do the circle.
This would be very nice because...
I have no idea how things might work. But Vinolog...
This works itself if you promote it. Uh-huh. Because I have a lot of wineries in my... like the ones that I consult or just know. We don't have a deposit system for repurposing the glass. But still, the smaller the winery, the more close they are with their customers, they tell them, next time you come to us, give back the bottles. And this works. It actually
And this works with bottles.
Yes.
So why not with Vinolog? So
that's a good point.
And then I can imagine that, and Vinolog is the only one, because of the glass leg, which can be reusable until it's broken.
Yeah, and final customers, actually, they take pride in being part of that voluntary system.
Definitely.
They consider it a good thing.
The wine consumers are getting older, so the new one are coming to the market.
Yeah.
Of course, there are trends that they drink more ready-to-drink cocktails or beer, but they are still wine lovers, but they are younger.
Yeah.
So they are more focusing on how the product looks like. So the packaging, that's one thing, that's nice. Nice is a must. About ecology, if it's like local production, sometimes not only talking about Vinolog, but also if it's recyclable or if it has any green effect to the planet. And it's important. So I think we might have, you know, all these possibilities to communicate and to bring to these customers.
I think if you really apply the idea of using a Vinolog to a certain usage pattern, and this is the voluntary recycling, because I don't see you deploying a worldwide deposit system. That's actually, that could be interesting how this will work. But you could definitely get a lot of final customers to just do it and take pride in it. And this would work to a certain degree, I'm absolutely sure, because I see it with the bottle. Okay, let's switch topic a little bit. When you think about winemakers who change from screw cap or cork to Vinolog, what do they tell about? Like, what's their experience? Not coming from you, but coming from them. I'm sure you talk to them.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And what do their customers say about the change?
Many of them made the test before. So they made a trial bottling with several bottles, and because of any reason, because of the image, mm-hmm. so the packaging, so this is important, because of the technical properties, how the wine will be. All of them came up with the solution that customers love it. Their customer just love the wine with the Vinolog system. Even they sometimes in France they made a test with the same wine in the same bottle, same label, just different closures, and the wine with Vinolog was sold out immediately, and the rest was there. So that was the proof that it works. The reason why our customers use Vinolog are different because of the styles. So, for example, Australian wine, very old winery, which is called Henschke, use the wine because of the cork taint. But, you know, Australian winery, they use only screw cap and only Vinolog, because of some markets and export. And the wine cost $80 up to $800.
That's much.
In France, some rosé with Vinolog can cost €8 in the retail shop. The other use it because of the packaging and because of traction, the people. The other use it because of their biological approach to entire winery, so they want to be more greener, they want to use only recyclable materials on the packaging, so that they want to use 100% of the glass. For example, in Italy we have one of this client, so the reasons are completely different. So that's how I think there is a lot of varieties why to use Vinolog.
I have I did an interview with a robotics company today, which was about hydrogen use as fuel source, and I learned about scope 1, 2, and 3 decarbonization. Have you heard of that before?
No, I've heard about the scope 1, 2, and 3 when you count the carbon footprint, because you have the direct emission, indirect, and the other.
Yes. This is the and, scope. And I think when you manage as a winery to get back Vinologs, you change the usage pattern, you can recycle them. That's a scope 3 topic. And I think this is vastly increasing marketing factor, actually. I see it because it's so pushed, it's politically pushed, mm-hmm. but it's also with new media like YouTube. Like the customer is much more informed about what's going on in production cycles in other parts of the world. You just see it. You see it. People can film everywhere. And I think the awareness for production cycles has grown immensely, from very low to still quite low, but much better. And so I think this to focus on this scope 3 carbon footprint impact that a winery can have, that's a huge topic. I mean, it's the same with recycling glass bottles that we are talking about. Produce one or produce one and use it 5 times. That's such a difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's why your product has huge potential. If a winery wanted to switch from let's say screw cap to Vinolog, you would need a different bottle shape, I think, or does it fit with regular with like the entry? And also, do you need different filling systems to put the closure on? What's
Yeah, what's the technical part?
What's the tale behind it?
Yeah. What's the story and service about? If you, as a winemaker, use the wine bottles and screw cap, the bottle head is screwed, so yeah. You cannot use it for vinalot. That's yeah, for sure.
Obviously.
Then it comes the shape. So me, as a selling you the vinologue, I would say, okay, you want to stick with the shape of the bottle because you already have the system and label and the full packaging, transport, logistic and everything. So we help you to find the bottle, which is, let's say, the most suitable to you and to your system. Mm-hmm. Vinologue needs to be compatible with the bottleneck profile. Mm-hmm. But nowadays we work with 25 bottle producers worldwide, and we develop actually a list, online list of bottles which are available for Vinologue, and there are more than 800 bottles. So yep. I think there is a solution. What is very easy, what a lot of customers do is that if they do have their own shape or embossing or whatever, and the bottle is not controlled in the process on a regular basis, we can always talk and discuss with a bottle producer to produce the neck according to the tolerance for vinologue. So this is kind of easy. Then you have to use the sleeve, the capsule, which you use on another closures except the screw cap as well. And the bottling, you can bottle by hand. If we talk about small craft distilleries.
I'm more talking about applying the vinologue to the bottle. I mean, this is done by machines, most of it.
It can be done by machines. A lot of producer of a machine has the extra equipment. Mm-hmm. And either you buy the new machine, that's what's happening, which is already... Which already includes the system for the vinologue.
Do you supply the system for vinologue bottling?
No, we don't. But we cooperate with these bottling line producers, mm-hmm. again, worldwide. And my colleague living in Austria actually works on this system because you can have an automatic system, you can have like external feeder of the vinologue, and then using kind of like a cork head. Mm-hmm. Because it's on the vinologue and you press the bottle from the bottom or mm-hmm. the other side. So actually, bottling the vinologue is quite easy. It's just...
I mean, I know how it works. The one thing that always strikes me is, how do you manage to keep that thing in place? Do you need to put a capsule on top?
Yes,
it doesn't
always
work without, because it's...
It works. I know some of our, punk customers with the craft distilleries, they only used a stripe of paper mm-hmm. because they want to have it as clear as possible. But the sleeve or the capsule is a must from our side because of the hygiene reason, because of the opening system. It's like when you have a bottle with cork inside, you always have the sleeve. Buff. Mm-hmm. It's the same.
Okay. Good, I get it. And the last thing that I would like to learn about, I've seen like very different shapes and colors and everything. In what sense is the vinologue customizable?
Never ending. There's an endless possibility of design. This is also one of the big advantages how to be different, because of course the shape of the glass closure is same. You can have a bigger one, smaller one, taller one, a little bit higher one. You have a little bit different collection, but then we talk about, let's say, 20, 30 shapes of closures. But then we have like 30, let's say, design possibilities, what you can do with a closure, and you can even combine them. So you can spray the head with a color to combine it with a label, then you can put the logo on it, you can put a color sealing ring. So there is a lot of play with the design options. Actually, one of our campaign maybe 6 or 8 years ago was about the design, because that's how we actually, you know, start with the communication being different. So.
I was thinking when I remember back to my childhood, I was always playing with these small glass balls. I don't know how they're called in English, and they had these beautiful.
We call it kuličky in Czech Republic. Kuličky.
Yeah, they had these beautiful color shapes in the. Is it possible to put something like this into a vinyl?
Probably not. Okay. But you know, one of our customer in Bulgaria, they play with selling the wines being the another talking about the differentiation on the market, and they order several vinologues with different colors and with a different sealing ring, and it was like 35 combinations, and they put different vinologue on each bottle in the box. So people were somehow collecting and buying more and more to have the whole package of these 32 closures. It was a game, but But at the end, you know.
I mean, it serves the many people's need to just collect stuff.
Like, exactly.
So many people collect the weirdest stuff, and why not caps? I mean, I know people who collect the screw caps from beer, like all over the place. You meet them again and again.
And you cannot do it with the other closures. I mean, with all these collections. So this is one of the way. I mean, we have several customers buying the closure for a different purpose.
Okay, cool. That was interesting. I'm done with my questions. I mean, I think most people know how Vinolog looks and where they can find it if they're interested. But it was super cool to get deeper into the actually application of Vinolog. When people want to find out about the technical aspects, do you release them somewhere?
Yes, definitely website. There is a huge list of our, let's say, partners, but there is also a list of our colleagues who are responsible for different topics. What is important is that we don't only sell the glass closure, we also sell the service. So we help with the bottling, we help with the bottles and everything. So there are people responsible for these technical, let's say, help and service in our office, which is nice.
That's good. Kate, thanks a lot. Was
Thank
a blast,
you.
And I hope you have a good exhibition. Oh, talking about the exhibition, it's your 10th, 11th, I don't know.
Something like that. I think Vinolog started on the French market in Bordeaux 2011 or 12. Oh my God, something like that. And then we repeat the exhibition. So every 2 years, it's either Citevi, Montpellier or Bordeaux, Vinitex. So this is France, but we also do the other exhibitions worldwide.
It's my first Citevi, so I cannot compare. How is the this year's experience? Because I mean, I don't know, you are maybe not as much affected, but the wine industry is shaken this year. Like,
you know, it's we are also affected, you know, because our customers are shaking, you know, and not in a stable position. We are also there with them. So this year was tough for everyone. But I'm optimistic and I see a lot of people wants to be optimistic. We just need to survive some, you know, bad era and, you know, this politic and economic troubles, which comes every 15 years. It's on a regular basis. So, and that's how it is. The show is crowded. There are a lot of people and we meet customers, but also new clients. So I hope that all the new projects which were parked this year will open next year. So that's where we have the potential for Vinolog, for the new projects and prospects.
Katerina Slezakova, thank you.
Thank you.